Jason, the Bears are playing a 1-5 team. So why does it seem so difficult? We'll talk about that more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. And the Bears are getting ready to play the Ravens. Jason, it sounds like it will be an ongoing discussion all week who will play quarterback for the Ravens. But this is not a good spot for the Bears if Lamar Jackson overcomes the hamstring injury to play, right?
Well, everyone expects him to play.
Right.
John Harbaugh said going into their bye that he thought Lamar Jackson would be back from his hamstring injury for this game. He said when asked Monday, even though Lamar didn't practice Monday, he said same answer. Mm-hmm. Lamar was back on the practice field Wednesday. So, and then Ben Johnson also said we're planning on it being Lamar. We're preparing for it to be Lamar Jackson. So I would start there.
Right.
I would expect that. Now, I don't know if you'll get the full Lamar Jackson. And with him, that could be a big deal because running is such a good, such a significant part of his contribution. It's not by far not the only thing he does. He is a killer in the passing game, but he brings that to the table like no other quarterback in the league right now.
They need him, Jason. Like before he got hurt, he had 10 passing touchdowns. He still leads the NFL in passer rating.
He was on fire.
He has a passer rating of 130.
Looking at maybe his best season.
But I think it's fair to point out, though, that if he is not a running threat, perhaps he doesn't have a passer rating of 130 if teams aren't afraid of him running the football. I think the two work hand in hand together. And while if he's a statue back there, I think he'd still be the second best quarterback the Bears have faced all year, probably. A hampered Lamar is different than what we're used to seeing.
By the way, he's never played the Bears. I know you know that, but I don't know if everyone knows that. This is a guy who's been in the league 8 years, 2 MVPs, elite player. It feels like he's been around forever at this point. He has never played the Bears. The only time it even came up on the schedule, he was out sick, and Tyler Huntley played, and they still beat the Bears.
Yeah,
and 16-13.
They marched in the final minute, if I remember correctly.
Was that a mistake at the end? Was that a Kindle? Kindle
Vildor
sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody played the wrong coverage, and the Bears lost to Snoop Huntley. Unclear whether he would be the starter or Cooper Rush would be. Cooper Rush started the last two games, but then he was replaced by Huntley during the last game. John Harbaugh is not saying whether a Lamar will play, or B, who he would play if Lamar couldn't.
Yeah, and let's get back to your other point here. You normally aren't terrified of playing a 1-5 team, but you should be if you're the Bears. I am not counting out Baltimore at all. I mean, this is a team, like, if they can just get to 10-7 by the end of the year and get in the playoffs, I still see them as a contender, as a team that could get to and win the Super Bowl. They have all the pieces. And they have a coaching staff with credentials. And when they tell you, hey, we're going to figure this out, I believe them. I expect that they probably will. And they still have one of the elite quarterbacks in the game when Lamar Jackson is healthy. They are a bigger favorite, betting-wise, to win the championship than the Patriots, who are 5-2, or the Seahawks, who are 5-2. That tells you everyone else is looking at this the same way, that just because the Ravens are 1-5, they are 1-5, by the way, because their defense has been really bad, which is something you never thought you'd say about them. They've given up the most points in the league so far per game. I don't think that's going to stay that way. And I don't think that you would be correct to be the Bears and be rubbing your hands together about this opportunity. I think it's quite the opposite. I think Baltimore coming off a bye, bringing in a team like the Bears that's still trying to level itself out, that still is getting up and down quarterback play, that has not convinced anybody it can stop the run. And by the way, we haven't even mentioned Derrick Henry. What did Chuck Pagano call him? Like a tank made out of razor blades or some ridiculous thing? Chuck Pagano was making all these bizarre analogies to describe opposing running backs toward the end of, I think, that 2020 or 2021 season.
Can I bring up the way he described Aaron Rodgers?
Sure, as long as it's appropriate.
I believe he had well, it's not appropriate, actually. Remember where somebody asked him about playing Aaron Rodgers, and he said, you know how you knew, you know how we all remember where we were on 9/11?
Yeah, not great.
Yeah.
Not great. But he was some more, some of his other descriptions of opposing players were a little more lighthearted and funnier. But the fact remains is Derrick Henry's unbelievable. Have you watched the Ravens on TV this year?
Yeah.
Because they've been in some primetime games. They played Detroit. I think they had a game. Did I see him play the Chiefs already this year? Derrick Henry's still got it. Very much so.
They played the Bills in that memorable game.
Yeah, it was crazy in week one.
And I will say this about Henry. He's had some fumbling issues this year, which is just bizarre. But, you know, much like the Ravens aren't really 1-5, really, the Bears aren't really 4-2. Really.
How so? What do you mean?
I think that – would you bet on them finishing with a winning record right now?
I'd have to look at the schedule, but 4-2 is a good start. Yeah, I think they could get to 9-8.
I think it's a good start. I feel like with the takeaways that they're...
You're saying could they go 5-6 the rest of the year?
I was, yeah.
It's yeah, I think
too
so.
Too much math for me.
Yeah.
I think that if they get through the next three games at 5-4, if they go 1-2 to get to 5-4, I think that's about right.
No, aim higher. But I'll take the loss in Baltimore. I think that I'm not picking the Bears this week. But they go to Cincinnati next and then home against the Giants. I think you need to be 6-3 at the end of that. I think there's been – this is not a shot at you, but I think around here there's been too much of setting the bar too low.
No, I'm not setting the bar as if they need to for their own sake go 1-2. I'm looking at a quarterback who hasn't been playing great. And it was coming off one of his worst four games by any objective measure. I'm looking at a defense that leads the league in takeaways and leads the league in they're plus 11 in turnover takeaway right now.
I know they have 16 takeaways, right?
Yes, and then they're plus 11 in turnover margin, which is tops in the league. I am of the belief that good defenses take the ball away, but that the ball is misshapen and weird and bounces weird ways, and that more than most facets of the game, takeaways are based on some dumb luck.
And you have plenty of quarterbacks you're going to face that don't really turn the ball over.
Right, as opposed to the ones that they've faced now with Spencer Rattler, my God, Geno Smith, one of the worst quarterbacks when it comes to that. Even, you know, Jaden Daniels, as it turns out, in retrospect, was hampered a little bit. I think that this is not a... I don't think the Bears on paper should be winning two-thirds of their games. And they're currently winning two-thirds of their games. I think that they need to improve to justify their record, if that makes sense.
Baltimore's a tough one for them. I think that if we both agree that we'd pick Baltimore in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so from there, what is a reasonable expectation of the Bears? And I'm going to start with you can't lose 52-21 like you did in week two to the Lions. A similar team in my mind, a top-tier contender. And again, I know that maybe you're shaking your head at that as you listen to this, and I'm putting the Ravens on par with the Lions, even though they're 1-5 and have given up the most points in the league. But there's just too much talent, coaching-wise and player-wise, here to be done with them at 1-5. I think that the Bears need to be competitive against these teams going forward. I think that is the bare minimum now. You can't go into games and just get blown out and be out of the game by halftime.
Yep.
Like they were against the Lions. That's not acceptable, and Ben Johnson shouldn't tolerate that. And 4 years into a rebuild, no one should tolerate that. This roster is far too far along for that to be a possibility anymore. Maybe they can't beat teams like the Chiefs, the Ravens, maybe Green Bay is in that category too. Maybe the Bears are not the Bills. Maybe the Bears are not capable, Eagles, of beating teams like that. But those, you need to play like you're in the same league as those teams.
I've been using the phrase middle class, and I think the Bears, as we sit here right now, are pretty firmly in the NFL's middle class. And compared to what we've watched over the last, I don't know, almost whole decade, that is a slight upgrade. But if you are a middle-class team in this league, you can't be losing by 30 on the road.
If you're a middle
class, good teams don't get blown out.
If you're a middle-class team, you're beating the bottom teams, like the one we just saw, and like the Raiders, even though that was just barely. and you're losing to the top tier teams, but you're not embarrassing yourself against those top teams.
Right.
You're going one level up. You should be able to at least hang with those teams.
I'll get a little more granular in terms of what I think qualifies as success here. Jason, I think their run game needs to stay on the same course that it's been going. It is probably not going to be as explosive as it's been the last 2 weeks, but it needs to look similar. Yeah.
No, this is a good path to go down, because what I'm saying is kind of the broad strokes of right. this is that you can't go into Baltimore and just get blown out and look like a joke and have no shot.
Right.
Specifically, what needs to look right, even in a loss, mm-hmm. what needs to look right. I think you're exactly right with that run game, and that really starts with DeAndre Swift continuing to do the same thing that everyone else sees as this good change that he's made, and he sees as, what are you talking about? I'm doing the same thing I've always done. We need to see more of that, more of DeAndre Swift, no negative carries, for example.
And I do think we need to see more of Kyle Manunga. You know, DeAndre Swift is still banged up the same way he was a week ago. And, you know, Manunga ran for 81 yards. You
know, against the Saints.
Still, I mean, if you made a list of Bears running backs in the last 10 years who have run for 81 yards, it's a pretty short list. Like, you know, Khalil Herbert's probably on it, right? And, I mean, we could name five or six guys, but nobody's typically aren't doing that. And I think that Manungai, part of the reason he is so intriguing to me, Jason, is because I think he is good proof when he is running well that it's the run game. It's not the running back. It's the game. Because if it works for Swift and for Manungai, then you're sitting there going, well, the blocking must be pretty good, the scheme must be pretty good, and there must be something that can translate from week to week. And I think I want to see that, and I want to see them be able to stop the run. And I know that between the fullback, the tailback, and the quarterback of the Ravens, there might be 15 Pro Bowl appearances.
It's really tough.
And it's a big ask, but they need to push back a little bit more. And you wonder whether Grady Jarrett can be of some help this week. You wonder if the decision to move Shamar Turner from a tackle to a defensive end will continue to help. Those things have seemed to turn around their run defense a little bit more.
And then you need a lot better play from QB1.
Yep.
And one of the tough things about the NFL is if you come into the season not ready, mm-hmm. it's very hard to fix yourself as you go. And it's not necessarily Caleb Williams' fault that he came into the season not ready to go, because he's still a young player. Although I don't know how long we're going to keep saying that. He's in year two. I keep giving him the margin that comes with that. You don't get the same margin now that you did as a rookie. And he's under a new coach. But the point remains, whatever the reason is, if you come into the season not ready and you are trying to fix things about yourself during the season, it's hard to have time to do that, Patrick, mm-hmm. because you come off the game Sunday and you spend Monday reviewing. You're not on the practice field. Tuesday, you have the day off, which in Caleb Williams' case, I would imagine means a lot more studying of both what happened in the previous game and preparing for Baltimore. And then you're into full-on Baltimore mode. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then walkthroughs and meetings on Saturday, everything is about, here's what we're doing against Baltimore. Fix yourself on your own time, kid.
Right.
And that's not easy to do. It's not easy to make those improvements, to be able to focus on those and put time into those things when the train doesn't stop. You've got to move on and be ready for Baltimore. He's got all of these things to focus on looking forward before he can look in the mirror. A couple of things that have to be better, starting ideally a few weeks ago, but I mean certainly need to be better Sunday and need to be better over the rest of the season. Caleb Williams needs to be more decisive in the pocket. When you have a 10 to 12 second play, that should turn into something.
Right.
When you have 10 seconds back there, somebody should be open. No defensive backfield in the NFL can lock it down for 10 to 12 seconds. And the Bears have good skill players that can get open. Part of the issue that you're seeing, and then you're hearing confirmation of this from Declan Doyle and Ben Johnson, is that essentially, correct me if you think I've heard this and observed this incorrectly, Pat, he is dancing around back there quite adeptly. It's impressive, but he's looking for a 50-yard throw mm-hmm. instead of somebody should be open underneath and just take it. Just take it and hope that because everything else is all spread out, the entire defense is all spread out in the middle of a broken play, that could turn into a big gain. That has to be more decisive. I think he needs to be more decisive as a runner, which sounds kind of ironic after we went through these years of Justin Fields being too quick to take off running. I think Caleb, while I don't want him running a lot and running to the point that it is risky health-wise, you can take 10 yards and slide and be safe. He's got to view that as a read. There are too many times when I see him in the pocket and I see there's room to run, and he doesn't take that either. You got to take those easy gimme yards. And the second part of it, and we haven't even gotten to the thing that he thinks he needs to fix, but the second part of it is the passing accuracy, the throwing accuracy. That's still a problem.
Yeah.
That can't continue. You're in year two, man. And that's something that he has control over, new system or not. He has control over that. He is getting time in the pocket from the offensive line. He's got quality skill players. He is an incredibly talented quarterback. Throw the ball accurately.
Yeah, and you know there were three plays, I think, to Rome Odunze that didn't go well, and somebody asked Ben Johnson about it on Monday about, hey, what does he need to do better in the throws? And Ben kind of said, well, you know, there have been a couple of them, and Rome's got to come back on one, and the other ones are on the quarterback, there, more or less.
Two of those, Rome caught him, it would have been like another 40 or 50 yards.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, he also needs to, and you mentioned there's no time to catch your breath if you're him. The way the Bears' schedule works out, there's really not time. There's not going to be a bye week the rest of the way here. And, you know, he's a player who has not missed any time due to injury yet. So long as he's healthy, this, you know, this sprint is just going to go for another 10, 11 weeks. And, you know, he needs to find a way to make himself better. Also, he just had a passer rating in the 60s, Jason.
And a completion rating below 60.
Below 60 when his coach wants 70. Yeah, when his coach wants 70. So this will be telling. I think if he goes out and has a strong game in a loss, that can still be progress. There's no rule here that says that they need to win a game for us to consider Caleb Williams to be on the way up or on the way down, much the same way that, you know, they just won a game, and that's not buying Caleb any good graces either because of how he played during it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more about, I guess, process than result. It's going to be more about what you see in 60 minutes from him rather than the final score.
Speaking of the final score, Jason, what you thinking?
I think high scoring. I think it's two defenses that you have some questions about. And I see the Ravens figuring that out better than the Bears. And I'm planning on Lamar Jackson with the weeks off being good to go and Derrick Henry being a real problem. So I'm thinking Baltimore decisively. Now, it's up to the Bears how competitive they make that game. You know, you can have a 10-point loss in the NFL that was a lot worse than the final score indicates. You can also have a 10-point loss that kind of gets away from you at the end. And they need to have the, if they're going to lose, it needs to be the latter of the two. It needs to be a competitive loss.
I think I've got them at 30-21. I think we're in the same boat here, Jason, that...
What did I put?
I'll find it for you.
36-27, I think.
Okay.
Baltimore?
36-27, correct. So, yeah, you know, 9-10-point game. I think, quite frankly, Baltimore needs this desperately, and the Bears are going to get their best shot.
Off a bye week, at home, desperate. Yikes.
Roquan Smith, real quick before we go. The Bears traded him. Ruined a Halloween for both of us when they did, or at least for me. He's been really good for them, but this is a defense that's been pretty lousy this year. And when you're middle linebacker, it's hard to have a good season when the rest of the defense is horrible.
Can you believe that, by the way, that the Bears would draft the Bears 100 plus years? Defense is everything. And specifically within that, linebacker is everything here at Hallis Hall. And they draft a guy top 10, and he's a star. We all know it.
Right.
There's no doubt he's a star. And you trade him away?
Right.
I mean, you trade a star entering his prime at the position that your franchise values more than anything, whether it should or it shouldn't. That's right. Their history right. And culture. You knew that was the wrong move. And you got confirmation of it when the 5-year, $100 million contract you didn't want to give Roquan Smith because you thought he wasn't worth it, he immediately got it from one of the respected organizations, right. Baltimore. Baltimore was happy to trade a second-round pick for Roquan Smith and pay him exactly what he wanted. The Bears' pivot on that was, and I'm sure they were looking ahead to this at the time in the upcoming free agent class, was Tremaine Edmonds, 4 years, $72 million, cheaper.
And Javon Dexter, the player they drafted with the pick.
Yes, yep. And the added asset of the second round pick coming in. That looked, as Roquan Smith stacked up three all-pro selections in a row, first team all-pro, and Tremaine Edmonds was kind of, you know, do you notice him? Do you feel him out there or not? That looked to be all of the regret that I expected it would be at the time, and that I think a lot of people thought it would be at the time for Ryan Poles and the Bears. That gap has narrowed a little. I still would rather have Roquan Smith, no doubt, even at that price, compared to Tremaine Edmonds. But Tremaine Edmonds has been very disruptive to start this season. He's having a better season than Roquan Smith. And if you compare them over the last three seasons, so since Tremaine got to the Bears, 23, 4, and 5, Tremaine Edmonds has been more of the takeaway guy. Tremaine Edmonds has more interceptions and the same number of fumbles recovered or forced, I forget which it is, forced, I think, as Roquan Smith. Roquan has a lot more tackles, and they're negligible on sacks. I think one of them has three, one of them has two. Roquan is a guy I think you'd see the impact in ways that the stats don't capture, so I'd still, again, rather have him. But the better Tremaine Edmonds plays, the more you mitigate the loss of trading away Roquan Smith.
Tremaine Edmonds doesn't even play Roquan's position anymore, does he? I mean, they switched him right now, or he and T.J. Edwards this offseason, so T.J.'s playing the middle linebacker role, and Edmonds is the weak side linebacker. You know, we've seen him make plays on the ball already this season in a way that I don't think we saw under Matt Eberflus. I think you're right. I think most independent people would rather have Roquan at that price than Tremaine at this price. I think I would remind you and the viewer that it wasn't just a vacuum. This was a guy without an agent putting out wacky-ass statements, appealing to George McCaskey in an open letter that he was leaking to NFL Network. It was not it's not the most professional of back and forth.
Also, a first-time brand new GM.
Yes.
On the other side of it.
Who probably wanted the world to know that he wouldn't get pushed around.
Yeah, it wasn't just Roquan.
Yeah, so, yeah, that'll be interesting to see him. Kyle Hamilton, their safety, I think is the best player they have on that defense and not Roquan. And Bears will be aware of him playing not only safety but slot corner and kind of moving all over the field. He's the Notre Dame guy who's kind of unusually big for a safety and maybe not even a safety. I mean, he's probably a linebacker or a rover or whatever you want to call
it. They also have Jair Alexander. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's there.
Boy, this Ravens team is built to win yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's so concerning if you're the Bears going in here is because I'm sure there's no shortage of professional pride from players who have been doing this a long time. Now, it might not matter if Snoop Huntley is playing quarterback, but I think the Bears need to be on alert here that this could go poorly.
If Lamar's not playing, it's a totally different conversation for me. Mm-hmm. I would give the Bears every chance to beat either of the backups from Baltimore, but I think if Lamar's playing, even coming off an injury, I just don't see the Bears winning this game at all.
Anyway, the Bears are 4-2, Jason. They'll go to Baltimore and then Cincinnati the following week before playing the Giants at home. Is 5-4 a reasonable expectation? Is it not? We'll find out. Until then, you can follow Jason and myself on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, buy a newspaper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again very soon.